Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've an SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions of the call ID. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for Quality 17702. Or you can join us on the Twitch TV website at twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. I will be starting streaming there. I will be watching the chat room there, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions and any comments that you have there. It's been going out quite well the past few weeks. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my podcast account is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall on Twitter. Also, I have a personal account called Paul Franz. And if you follow me this morning, I'm proud to be an Orioles fan. I love tech and I love being a Catholic. So if any of those bother you, don't follow me. Of course, I have also my business account, which is the Franz Games account. It's FRANZGAMES. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week is that they've just been busy rolling up Capsule number 54 and working on the next great project, which I haven't seen much mention of on the websites. And of course, this upcoming week, there's going to be a new release of Shapeways, but that's next week, not this week. Moving on to the Sapphire Star Tournament. Round one of the Sapphire Star Tournament is completed. And then we had a lot of double wins. So I correct things so that actually only one round two game is complete with everybody else, you know, finishing up the round one games. And unfortunately, my opponent is going to be a Fed. It's going to be Seth Szymanski. I will be facing him, his Fed against my Andromedan, and it's going to be a die roll match. If I roll well and he rolls really well, I'm still dead. If I roll poorly and he rolls really well, I'm dead. If he rolls poorly and I roll well, I've got it in the bag. This shall be an interesting game. Hopefully that I can force him to fire at a bad range and have him miss. Lord knows, the great thing about Fed Photons is that the hit sucks overall, compared to like a disruptor. And of course, being Andromeda, I'm gonna have to get at least into like range 5. And that's 5 is fine. It's when you get into like 4 that things get a little wonky. And I'm definitely gonna review Peter Bakia's notes on his game and what he tried to do. And moving onward to the library. Not much happening there. The FedCom library is still at 377, and that's the squadron size and fleet size 270. And I'll be sending out more ships out to Chris this week. Chris, if you're listening, I promise you they will be in the email ASAP. I apologize for not getting them out to you much sooner, which I should have. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, we have Barry, we have Russ, which is always good. And of course, we have the wonderful chat room over at twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. If you want to join us there, feel free to do that. You know, just a reminder, we record starting at 9:30 p.m. every Thursday night. So the recording actually starts a little bit later than 9:30, like 9:35. But if you get here at 9:30, please be patient. You know, get twitch.tv at 9:30. Please be patient. I will be there. I promise. Because the worst case scenario is I will drop TalkShoe like a bad habit. But in the meantime, hey Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Oy.
So I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Yep. That's always nice to hear. I'm sure your wife is definitely appreciating that.
She is. Yep.
How long is the honey-do list?
She is. Not too bad. Not too bad.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still sort of recovering from the effects of a red eye, which was technically yesterday. Yeah.
Understood.
We took off yesterday just after midnight.
Yeah, that's definitely a red eye.
Oh, yeah. We landed in Charlotte, North Carolina, and just after sunrise. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you got hardly any sleep on the flight.
Oh, it wasn't too bad. I brought one of those neck pillows. And I always get a window seat so I can just kind of lean up against the window. And
right.
I slept for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
It helped.
Good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Ooh.
Sorry.
No clue who that is.
Yeah. And I head back to California Monday. But then I fly back to Pennsylvania on Friday. And then the following Monday I fly down to Georgia.
Huh.
It's like, quick to say rabbit. Bouncing back and forth between East Coast, West Coast. So I am looking at the Nicosian Concordance, and I don't know how to do a tournament ship for that. Plays.
Oh, understood.
Different.
Yeah, I saw the comments from that you sent me from Ken, Mr. Burnside, about the Nicosians thing. That basically they have. They're one trick pony is what he's describing.
Yeah.
There's one way, one tactic
that
they can play. And if someone can go against those tactics, you know, if they have something that can be,
right.
You know, defense against those tactics, there's nothing you can do, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's actually a very low power ship.
Right.
With 16 warp and 14 other power.
Yep.
I'm assuming the heavy cruiser. So that's.
Look at that. Yeah.
That's not.
Where's the heavy cruiser?
That's 30 total power.
Yep.
Actually, that's not too bad. 30 power, considering that
hell,
really
man.
It's what?
Did you look at the turn mode?
It's turn not mode. As bad as it looks.
Okay.
H for the heavy.
Yeah.
I know, but it's not as bad as it sounds, because remember that. Speed 16 is what you use for your turn mode, is really speed 32.
Right. That is true.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, let's say you're going speed 11, which is really speed 22. Then your turn mode's 4. It's
right.
A little worse than D, but it's not as bad as E.
Right. Yeah, that's always the weird thing about the ship is that you can't look at, when it comes to the warp power, you can't really look at it that much overall. Meaning you can't
Right.
compare it to other warp ships because speed 16 is speed 32.
Yes.
In
So
hexes, that
power
is.
for movement, right. Speed, power for movement is basically it has half the warp, but it's twice as efficient. But then if you use the warp for non-movement, of course, you've got half the power. On the other hand, it's got more APR and impulse than anything else in the... Oh, I missed three APRs. Okay. Now you have 14. You have 17 power plus 16 is 33 power out of a ship that's basically half movement cost. That's not too bad. And here's a power savings. That collapsium armor. In the front, you have, let's
Think
see,
it's 10.
two, four, six,
Yeah, it's 10.
eight, nine, ten. 10. Okay. So let's say you decide to run around with your shields down. Okay.
Yeah, they still have to do at least 10 points of damage to actually do internals.
Correct. Any volley less than 10 doesn't do any internals. So,
Which
you
is
might say, well.
quite weird, but it's fine for this ship because of the low amount of energy. We're talking about the Nicosians.
Well, it's not right. It's you could probably run around with minimal shields. Can you reinforce minimum shields?
Yeah, my understanding is yeah, you can. But also remember, minimum shields,
Okay.
those are the first five boxes. So as soon
Correct.
as you have five boxes
Damage.
destroyed, it's basically the down shield.
Right. But you still the collapsium armor doesn't go away. And that's a nice factor. It means you really never have a down shield.
Correct. And that was the one
Yeah.
thing that Ken was pointing out. It's like you can get to the point with them where you're the Nicosian's whomping on his opponent, but doing no damage, well, no internals, and you're not, and they're not doing internals to you because of the armor, know.
Right. Well, they're always going to be doing some damage to your shields, but yeah, the subspace auger really it's a horrible weapon in terms of damage output.
It's basically it's like a phaser, damage wise.
Yeah.
So it's a little better,
Right.
little better of a phaser because from 3 to 8, farther ranges, 8 to 9 to 20.
Yeah.
It actually does better than a phaser,
Right.
but
Right.
I forgot how
Takes
much.
3 points of power to charge. And it's got a cooldown turn. Kind of like a fusion beam.
Okay, just a
Now they can
reminder,
be held for.
just a reminder for people, because of those who are not familiar with the Nicosians. Okay, one of the special things that the Nicosians have is what's called skip warp movement. This is a very weird idea.
Yeah,
Which is
it
one of the reasons why I kind of like it. That's because it's totally different.
is different. Yes.
Instead of you have to move every single hex, basically you jump every other hex, you jump every other hex.
Right. Yeah.
Is what you're doing. So you pay
Right.
for 10, speed of 10. you're actually moving at a rate of speed of 20. Now,
But you're because you're going speed 10, your turn mode speed, your turn mode is determined on how much you paid for. So you have what's known as practical speed and skip speed.
Right.
So if I pay for 10 movement, my practical speed is 10. That means my turn mode is based on I've moved so many hexes or I've moved so many times.
Right.
So let's say I'm moving, my practical speed's 10. That means that actually my turn mode still sucks because I've got to move 4 times to satisfy my turn mode, but that's really 8 hexes of movement. So an 8 hex turn mode is B10 or worse. So this ship does not turn at all.
Yeah.
So truly H is H. Yeah,
the example is right, and turn to start skip move is destination turn right.
Now, the way skip works, skip is when it's my turn to move, I move 2 hexes. The first one, I have to move straight, no slips, no turns. And the second movement, I get to slip or turn if my turn mode is satisfied. And if I'm using skip mode warp, I cannot do a high energy turn at all. Now, I can turn off skip warp, which means that I'm now basically, I've got very little warp and I'm not more efficient, but now I can do a high energy turn.
Yeah, but deactivate skip warp can be activated, deactivated for any unit. Ba-ba-ba. Okay, you can change the movement modes in mid-turn. Must specify the as well the speed and make the announcement on the impulse prior to change, basically like a mid-turn speed change.
Right. So I figured what you can change it every 8 impulses or so.
Take a look, see. Yeah. 8 impulses.
Yeah. I need to turn. I might want to turn off the skip mode, high energy turn, and then turn it back on, which takes a while.
Right.
Now, for tournament play, I don't know. It's got 2 special sensors.
Right.
They just say, nah, they don't, we don't use them, or...
Don't know. Because for a tournament, the question would be, there's 2 ways of solving the issue, in my mind, with the special sensors. One, replace them. Because if we want to, we can limit the scout functions that it could use. We could...
Yeah, that's true.
We could basically limit it to just... Breaking lock-on, yeah.
Or IDing drones.
Possibly IDing drones.
Well,
I'm not saying you cannot... how many labs does it have? 3 labs, which is even better than the Andromeda. I don't think you can actually allow that. And here's the reason why. This is the only reason I say that. When it comes to, I don't think you can allow the IDing of seeking weapons. And that is, currently, you cannot, in tournament play, use a probe launcher as a probe launcher. To launch a probe against like a shuttle or any seeking weapon to identify it. It only can be used as an emergency weapon in tournament play, which annoys the crap out of me. Because it's one of those things. I think it's kind of stupid, honestly. It's one of those things that's bothered me for many a year. When, you know, that's one way for the people who don't have enough labs to increase the number of labs at the cost of a one point of power for two turns.
Good.
I think it's one point of power.
Good news. Tournament from Module T-2012. Mm-hmm. Following rules will not be used. Scout functions.
Right. Oh, agreed.
Okay, so that answers.
Right, which means it would have to be switched out for phasers. Or something.
Which would make sense. The ship only has 8 phasers.
Yeah.
And those phasers are pulse phasers, which can be either fired as a single P2 or a pair of P3s, which is...
I don't think that's right. I thought the pulse phase you can fire is 2 phaser 2s.
No. A single phaser 2 or 2 P3s.
Firing each pulse phase you can fire either the phaser. Yeah, right. You're right. I'm thinking of something else then.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing going back to Skip Warp.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks tractors.
Wow.
So, let's say I've got a practical speed of 10, and you tractor me. Now I have a pseudo speed of 5. So, the next time 5 moves,
you break the tractor.
I break the track.
As long as you have skip warp enabled at that point.
Correct. And I think if the other ship moves, that breaks the tractor too. No. It doesn't matter whether I'm tractoring you or you're tractoring me. The moment I do skip movement, the tractor broken.
Wow.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Right. Well, that's great for those situations where, you know, being tractored can cause a lot of damage. Yeah.
Yes. So if I can anchor, let's say somebody's going at skip speed 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or let's say they're going skip speed 8, which would be speed 16. Okay, which is not unreasonable, and you tractor them. Now their pseudo speed is 4.
Right.
That means they can go a whole 8 impulse, depending. It might be in a whole 8 impulses before they get to break the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
In 8 impulses, you can take a lot of things can happen. So, now, on the other hand, if you... say, okay, I'm going to do a mid-turn speed change. I can probably finagle that I'm going to move a little bit sooner to break the tractor, but it's certainly something. It's a weird dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you can skip over webs.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, man. That definitely provides a very interesting dilemma for the Tholians.
Tholians.
Because they have
also for the Andromeda.
Someone who actually can jump over their webs and go right through them.
Right. Now, this is a ship that really can't turn. And it can't shoot through the webs. I mean,
right, right.
But it can jump the webs.
Right. Now, obviously, you got to be careful about that, because the webs are a double-edged sword for the Tholian, in that, yes, it protects them, but also they can't fire their disruptors through the web either.
Right.
So.
And of course, skip missiles can jump a web too.
Oh boy. Okay, the skip warp missiles. Okay.
Well, now let's keep with the direct fire weapons, because skip warp missiles are, we're going to, there's a lot to them. So, but mm-hmm. let's get to them later.
Okay.
Subspace auger.
Ah, so yes.
3 points of power to charge, right. 1 point of power to hold. If fired, you need a cooldown turn before you can even arm it again.
Okay. So it's like a fusion beam.
Doesn't do much damage, as you point. Yeah, it's like a fusion beam. It does a little more damage than a phaser, depending.
Right. It's 2d6.
Internal damage. Right, it's on 2d6. Any internal damage is tripled. Once I get past the shields, everything is tripled. Andromedans do not have shields. It's just tripled.
I have... Oh. Oh, freaking hell. A subspace auger treats an Andromedan as an unshielded target and does triple the base damage to power absorber panels. It has no special leak function versus power absorbers. The damage it does... is absorbed like other direct fire damage. It does not ignore the power absorber panels. I'm glad about that. Right. Okay, oh, that's interesting. Subspace augers fired through a down shield at an armored target are treated as fired through an unshielded target. Okay, ignore the armor for purpose of determining damage points to be scored, but any damage is first scored against armor, of course. Okay. This includes targets with collapsing armor.
Right.
Right, and normal stuff, which is, they're affected by, you know, cloak ships, or firing against cloak ships, they're affected by the normal G13.37 rule.
Yeah. So, not too many ships with armor, but basically it did triple damage against ships with.
Okay.
Once you get through the shields, and I don't know whether the phasers hit before the subspace auger. What does it say about that?
My guess is that they're fired at the same. They're hits. Oh, that's a good point. Which is. I don't see anything. Right. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about if it's fired with other weapons.
Right. But,
you know, when is the phasers first do their damage and then the space auger, which would be obviously beneficial, or does the space auger go first? And, you know, and then the phasers. So any internal damage is not tripled.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Yeah. Well, this is still basically a playtest. It's a playtest module, so that's
right.
That's one of those rules that would have to be added.
They didn't specify it. Right. Let's see. So I don't know what occurs first, the subspace auger or the phaser.
Right. That's something that really. We probably have to bring up as a rules question for them. My guess
right.
off the top of my head is that Space Auger is considered last. That's my guess.
That would make sense.
Right. Exactly.
That would. Yeah. Okay. And then the missiles.
Yep.
So you have their heavy cruiser has the missiles have firing arcs. So you have two on the left side, two on the right side.
Right.
There are 8 missiles in a rack.
Okay.
We're going to assume that there's no reloads. And you can fire one missile per rack per turn. There's two types of missiles, and we don't know what missiles we're going to use for the ship. There's a missile frame, and there's two types of frames. One's a skip speed 20,
right,
and a duration of 6 turns. Well, skip 20 means that it moves at speed 20. Sprint missiles have a skip 40 speed, so they move 40 hexes
a turn.
Per turn.
Dang.
Yeah. And missile guidance, they have a max range of 50, not 35. So I don't know, do we want to do all the long-range ones and then, say, 2 of the fasties per scenario?
Probably. We probably start, at least that's where we'd start.
Yeah, yeah. Now, warheads.
yeah.
Oh, and let's see. The missiles cannot do a high energy turn themselves. When they use skip warp, though, the first every time they skip, the first hex they have to move straight. So if you can get to range one of the missile, and it's one, and you're not directly in front of it, it can't hit you. It'll go past you. And it can't change movement modes.
Right. So it's always skip.
Or always standard.
Oh, wow.
You could launch it as a standard.
Anti-shield warheads.
Sluggish. What's that?
The primary warhead used by the Nicosians on their missiles, the anti-shield warhead used a burst of electronic magnetic force to batter down shields. While unable to do internal damage to an enemy unit, it did create opportunities for other weapons.
Yeah, it does 16 points of shield damage. And oh, by the way, the missile frame itself takes 5 points to destroy. So it's a little heavier than a standard drone. And there's no large versions. But yeah, the anti-shield one does 16 points of damage. Shield damage.
Right.
Which is a nice thing because now your subspace augers pair well with that.
Yep, well, that seems to be the thinking of when it comes to tactics. You pummel your opponent with the missiles, and then you come follow it up with the space augers.
Right. Half space anti-ship warhead. Now, 50%, you can have a split warhead, so you can have 8 points of payload shield damage 50% of the warhead can be swapped out for 2 points of armor, which adds 4 damage points to the frame, or an eel module, which generates 1 point negative tractor field. Oh, anti-shield missiles will do 2 points of degradation to an
Andromeda. Yeah.
We'll fill it
which
with no energy.
Is correct.
It won't. Yeah.
See?
And won't do any damage.
Right. Dang. But of course, really, with space augers, when it comes to Andromeda, you don't want you don't need to pummel his shields at all, you know? Because space augers are going to do triple damage against PA panels anyway.
But as I said, since the missiles, if you're using them in skip mode, which is the, then, as I said, if you can and they're slow, so speed 10 is where they move. So it should be possible, if you're at any decent speed, to get yourself to a place where you're not directly in front of it, and then it has to go past you. And then it can turn, but it's already past you.
Right.
That's the problem. So getting an actual hit with one of these things is going to be hard.
It can be, yeah.
They also have an explosive warhead, which does 8 points of damage. And then it has a EMP warhead. Does no damage to the target. Cancel all the self-generated electronic warfare generated by the target unit. Okay, so the EMP warhead is useless in a duel, or sorry, in a tournament.
Right, because we don't allow, except for unlimited, EW.
The probe warhead, more akin to the Galactic Power Stingray or Swordfish drone than is to the probe. Probe missile is launched at its target as a Stingray bus vehicle using all the save that instead of launching a tight dogfight drone, it fires a probe. Okay.
There is. Okay, Barry, let's go back to the EMP just for a moment.
Yeah.
In that one that I just read might make it not illegal.
Oh, against weasels?
Against weasels. Because imagine this.
Yes.
Imagine having an EMP fast drone, fast skip warp missile, and a slow. Actually, the problem is that it will, because it will avoid the weasel.
Right.
On impact, which means that if you have a fast skip missile, a skip speed 20, it could make it there before the skip 10 and blow away the wild weasel.
Yeah.
In mid-flight and have it still do damage.
Right.
It's an interesting idea.
Oh. Yeah. I launched a wild weasel. Nah, you didn't.
Though, to be honest, the big issue there is going to be that most people don't launch the wild weasel until late anyway. Until the missiles will be relatively close, so an EMP module, you could use it in my mind in tournament play, but I don't think it'd be very useful.
Well, the other thing is, would it be possible to set your skip warp up in such a way that the EMP missile is going to hit the weasel. The other ones are going to blow past it. And then it's like, oh, okay, the weasel's gone. Now I can keep going.
Right. There is one, actually, I just think about it. There is one possibility of when you'd want to have an EMP warhead. And that has nothing
right.
to do with...
Oh, here's another one. Let's say the skip hex happens when you hit the weasel. The regular warheads... Well, which happens first? Does the EMP module hit before the other drones do?
I would think they'd all hit at the same time.
Okay,
normally the way drones are all resolved is they all hit their target at the same time.
Right.
But let me get back to what I was going to say, which was there is the one intriguing possibility, and that is the possibility of when someone wild weasels to protect themselves against your space augers. You know, i.e. for the EW effect.
Okay. Well, the augers are
but yeah,
2D12.
That's the one thing I was thinking of was that it won't change the auger hit that greatly.
Right. Now they also have negative tractor warheads, slug warheads to give it armor. And a warp field. No, that's mine. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, the slug warheads could be used against ESGs.
That would be interesting to use, though. Ooh. The warp field distortion mine. But I don't think there's any.
Well,
might as well discuss it.
Yeah.
Just for giggles.
Okay. So is it?
Because that's one thing that we could, if it's decided that when we're looking at it as a tournament ship, that we decide, okay, now the Nicosian, that ship, is too weak. One way would actually see if
right.
give them, you know, like a mine that could that they could roll out.
Right. All right. So let's see what the warp field distortion are. The same size as the T bomb, and it has a hatch for T bombs.
Right.
Let's see.
Wow.
Warfield can be dropped out the hatch or laid in the same manner as T-bomb using, okay.
When triggered.
Warfield distortion mines laid by transports.
When triggered, a warp
triggered
warfield
warp
distortion mine pulls every object using warp energy for movement within a 3-hex radius closer to the hex the mine is located. The radius is referred to as the effective radius. Boom.
Units pulled or moved at the rate of 1 hex per impulse during the involuntary.
So the idea of this would be to drop it out while you're running away, have it activate in time so that it wouldn't draw
after the ship
flies past, and it would activate possibly after a second drone goes past. Because I'm assuming that you can, this is a mine, and you can set the triggering mechanism to be a certain number of ships, certain number of units go past. In which case, in this case, you know, size class 7, I think it is. You know, the drones go past, so that when like the second one goes past, then the second one triggers it, then you actually, it activates, because there is one minor issue, I would think, and that is that it can actually speed up the drone.
Well, the warp field stresses on a shuttle caused by warp field distortion line will cause a shell to have a death dragging speed of half its normal rating.
Well, warp field distortion mines damage units enter their hex. Shuttle's mines are destroyed when they enter. Wow. When they enter the hex of the warp field distortion mine. Crap, man.
Wow. Plasma torpedoes are destroyed. Yeah,
I know. I know. That's what, I read and went,
oh.
So you actually have a defense against plasmas, which for them, they need.
It's huge. Yes.
They don't have that many phasers.
Holy. But you can use that to take out a whole stack of drones.
Yep. Well, it's like any other T-bomb. Really, in that case. You can take a whole stack.
Yeah,
that's true. That's why for the Andromedan,
yeah.
What people do when it comes to their drones is they have a habit of spacing them out. So it's more of a wall of drones and not a big stack, because they know that the Andromedan has a T-bomb, and the Andromedan will just go bloop and boom, the stack is gone.
Okay. And then normal ships take 5 points of damage per impulse if they remain in that hex while the distortion mine is active.
Wow.
Active warp field distortion mines cannot be tracked. How long do they stay active?
Yeah, that's the moment myself. Okay.
Oh, they have a detection range of 3 hexes.
Yeah. Oh. Because the question is. I want to know. Okay, how long are they active? That's what you brought up the question, and I'm wondering about that. Right, they're triggered, and then
duration. Warp field distortion mines have a duration of 4 impulses after activation.
Wow. Oh. Okay. That could be highly annoying.
That is like you spread out all your sneaking weapons and fighters, and it's like, too bad.
And he goes, come to me. It has effective range of 3 hexes. So for 4 impulses, anything within 3 hexes gets drawn to it.
1 hex per impulse.
Yep. Oh, oof. Holy cow.
That is a nasty.
Yes, it is.
You don't want to give it more than one, that's
for
sure. Oh,
amen. That's the one thing I was thinking of. It's like, yeah, that's... let me relook at the heavy cruiser again.
On the other hand, it has no admin shuttles. No shuttle bay.
You got a good point there. Has no shuttles, so it has no wild weasels. It's got pulse phasers. So it's either four phaser twos or eight phaser threes. So, oops, sorry.
That's got eight pulse phasers.
Okay. Which is good if you were going to do some defense overall.
Then you lose a lot of your offense.
Right. And
I think the special sensor should probably just be pulse phasers.
Yeah, that's right. I know that we were talking about that, and I think that's probably the way we'd go is to replace the special sensors with one pulse phaser, left side, one pulse phaser, right side.
Left side, one pulse, right side. Yep, that's what I would have suggested, yeah.
And it might
the
not...
The missiles are interesting.
Yeah, the missiles are quite interesting. That mine...
But they're not too...
I think that's the most interesting weapon there.
Yeah, I'm glad you went. I was going to skip over that, but oh my, it almost needs one or two of them just because of no weasel.
Right, exactly. That's the gonna be that's the big
that is its weasel.
That is its weasel, yes.
Now
I've seen one thing we could do is tweak the rules to say, okay, for tournament play it has no effect on ships. You know.
So
it acts purely as kind of a weasel. But, you know.
I don't know. Only a ship that's in the same.
Oh,
I don't know that it's that bad.
Yeah, I agree.
It's only five
points. Yeah, and it has to be in that hex. Now, question how long is it going to be in that hex? Because if it's in that hex for all four impulses, then it's going to do 20 points of damage to that shield.
But if you move out of the hex, then do you have to start the hex, start the impulse in the hex?
And so as you move out of the hex, you're going to be brought into the hex.
You have to see, okay.
Because it's going to attract you again. But
Warfield distortion mines damage units that enter their hex when active.
Right.
Okay, so it only when it's entering the hex.
Right.
Okay, but, size class.
But that can either happen again and again and again. Because if your ship it moves out and it moves back in.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't move that impulse, you don't get damaged.
Right. So if you're going slower, then but
right, and let's say you give it two, which is a reasonable number.
Mm-hmm. Then, and we say that you have to you have to drop them out the hatch. You can't transport them.
Right. Yeah.
And
of course, there's no boarding parties, and it cannot be boarded.
Wow.
The ship itself is physically the size of a drone.
Wow. Did not realize that.
What's that?
I didn't realize they were that small.
Well, the crew, they said, were the size of a grain of sand.
Damn.
Well, it's basically the ship and the crew are all made of neutronium.
Right.
So. Yeah. It's got a lot of internals. You got six rear hull, eight forward hull,
mm-hmm.
and Then you've got four fabs, four cargo. Yeah.
So it's got plenty of padding.
Yes, it does.
And it's five control spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Which is decent.
No flag.
Right. Has a mercy and aux three transporters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three transporters. What's going to use? We can't do hit and run raids.
Well, I think they're for T-bombs. I don't know. And I guess the explosive warheads on the missiles just do 8 points of damage, which isn't too bad. But you're going to probably be using most of them for anti-shield.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a ship that can, it's got missiles that can rip your shields off. And then... getting a missile hit's going to be hard.
Right. I don't think it's going to be that hard.
I don't know. You can definitely set yourself up so that you can arrange for the missiles to miss you. Once they miss you and you're past the missile, yeah, they're fast, but well, not that fast. Skip speed 20. It's basically a 20 speed missile, and if you're past it, it can't really turn that fast. Got turn mode of one essentially, but it can't higher as you turn.
Right.
So, and it's not turn mode one because it's skip straight. Then turn, skip straight, turn. So, and it only really moves at speed 10. So by the time it gets turned around, you're long gone.
Right.
So,
which means
you probably have to fire.
Right. You have to spread it like a wave of them, or at least you have to have them spread apart.
Right.
So that. You have to
be
on. You have to be on one or the other, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is that because the missiles have arcs, it's kind of hard to arrange a wave of say four.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, given what we just talked about, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Have two and then another two. Two on one side, right. Two on the other side. Meaning going for aiming towards like the rear, doing a trailing targeting versus leading targeting.
Can you do leading target versus trailing? Then I guess.
You can. No, you can do that. That's the way people just move. There's no way of specifying it in the client, but you know, the way they move it, it can be either leading or trailing.
Right. The other thing is that the Kosian missiles use the procedure in F2.5 for mutual impacts. Most Nicosian missiles cannot damage drones, exception FD95.0 is the explosive warhead. Okay. Okay. Drones damage, drone miss damage missiles per FD 1.562 is modified by FD 93.36.
Yeah, that obviously that's one thing I was just thinking about, which is with the missiles, we'd have to figure out, okay, what are the valid types? Because even with regular drones, you have limited options when it comes to what you can trade out.
Damaging missiles. The Cozy and Skip Warp missiles are made out of collapsed matter and thus very hard to damage. The entire amount of damage, 5 points, needed to destroy the missile must be applied during one step in the sequence of play. Damage during movement, resolution of direct fire weapons. If there's not enough damage scored to destroy the missile, none of the damage is applied.
Okay. So you have to do 5 points, ADDs, at least 5 points ADDs. Of damage at one shot.
Right. ADDs don't damage it.
Interesting. Dang, man.
Now, it says because of their extremely small size, all firing missiles is penalized by 2 free points of natural ECM. This would not apply to missiles used by
powers. I have not looked at it. I did not realize there was. Barry, just a real quick thing. Aegis 777 in Twitch was just mentioning that there was a playtest rules changes by Mr. Petrick they agreed to after playtesting by a couple folks posted on the BBS. And he agreed. He says, yeah, the Nikos still need a lot of work. And I agree overall. You know, there's still stuff, at least when it comes to rules, there are some missing components. But that's one thing I will actually let's see if there will be some Starfleet battles playtesting. Okay, I don't see anything for those. Okay. Aegis, do you know where it is located?
What's this?
I am, because he said that there was Steve Perez's main poster. Aegis was just mentioning, you know, that there's a post about it on the discussion board, and I don't at the moment I've not found it yet. I'm looking at it. I went to playtesting, and it's like, okay. No, it's not in playtesting. Playtesting the death probe, yeah, no. Yeah, for playtest.
Is there a search function in the...
Yeah, there is a search function. Okay, I looked that up. Keyword search. Oh, there it is. R is what I'm looking for. Okay, wow. Back in May, is anyone now playtesting the Nikos? Okay, I'm just looking to see if see anything from. There's enough at this point that I'm probably going to adopt the revisions on the design Nikosian ships, reducing armor, strengthening the shields, and take a look at modifying the heavy weapons. So they're looking into modifying the space auger. Well, he said they're mentioned. Yeah. There looks like there's a playtest report here. And some post for some observations. But at the same time, Patrick said he was going to review changing things, so he's not actually has not updated the rules. That's the way I see it. Yeah. Yes, Mad Cow. Mad Cow said that, and since they're only the size of a grain of sand, only Horton the elephant can hear them.
Oh, God.
Oh, I
yes, I got just, the reference. It's yeah, been while since I read that book.
Oh, yeah.
So what's it? Who are you?
Yeah. I see the postings. Yeah. Just I don't see. So even the phaser volley is not enough to down the shield. No kidding. Okay. This is actually one of the questions we had. Okay. Oh, always answered. He's saying that the answer is an E 109 331, which was, I think it was our question. But I see Parrish's posts, but I don't. The last thing I see from Mr. Petrick says here, which was in 2019. So it's over a year and a half ago, because it was March.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's enough at this point that I'm probably going to adopt the revision on the design and the Kojin ships, basically reducing the armor and strengthening the shields. You know.
Okay.
And sure. Take a look at modifying the heavy weapon, which, when it comes to the Kojins, is the Space Auger.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve Patterson, in the revised CA table I wrote somewhere in this section a couple years ago, I seriously reduced its range. Besides giving it an overload function at close range, the reduced range of the SA should help the Nico's enemies, and I would like to try all this myself, but I haven't had a chance to play SAB in months, and this was back in 2017. Mm-hmm. So, supposedly, basically, Steve Parrish had I'm just going to see if. Okay, no, this is from Ken. Okay, I think this is the one. Yeah, this is the one. Ken Kazansky came up with a better formatted. I'm assuming, because it says here's your table replying to Stephen Parrish using the website's format, and it definitely shows things toned down a bit. And I'm assuming these are standard versus overload is what I'm thinking. Let's go back one, and then let's go to the May 2014. Oh, there it is. Okay. Not that great. But I'm trying to understand it. Okay, and going back to here. Let's go back here. Right. Yeah. I agree with you about the Nikos needing the advantage of the jump break from the Gorn anchor, though Dennis disagrees. We are taking a break from Nikos for a while, though I hope we can do more testing before too long. This was back in May of 2014. But
yeah,
I'd have to look further into this because of, as was mentioned before, Steve Parrish was thinking of modifying as we were mentioning, he's just saying the Nikko missile movement needed to be changed too. Kevin Burnside even chimed in at one point. It's possible I haven't had time to actually look through this because I didn't know that this existed. The main reason I came up with the Nikosians to be honest, is because of I want to discuss the Nikosians because actually I was starting to implement some of the features into the online client. In this case, the Collapsium armor, at least how the Collapsium armor works, into the client.
Right.
You know, so that at least is that part is implemented. Now, obviously, weapons damage can easily be modified quickly because that's not hard coded into the client. Yeah, it has. There's the nicety of the table, so you can click on the damage and it will automatically calculate the damage for you. But if you're playtesting, as long as everyone agrees what the tables are, then there's no issue about what damage is because it's not directly tied in to this is how much damage you did, and now it's gonna go roll the internals. You know, totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, the cousin that look quite interesting. Oops, I'm just about to do something really bad. Okay. Have a little power strip right here by my feet. Bad place for it. But anyway, he just mentioned how we were hoping that Petrick would get Petrick to finish them and formally publish them as a new race, as a new empire. Actually, the Cozy themselves are probably a race and an empire. Yeah.
Right. Well, I know that Ken basically said that they're not too balanced in one-trick ponies. So.
Yeah, but at the same time, we got other empires in the Omegas, which are pretty much one-trick ponies, too.
Yeah, I know.
So
I agree. Yeah.
What's the issue with that?
You're right. You're right. None.
But
no.
Yeah, I think we both agree when it comes to Nikko missile movement, they need to be able, in my mind, they need to be able to hit. like any other seeking weapon.
Or
what?
Yeah. Or they need to be able to change from skip to non-skip.
Yeah, that's a tough one though. I mean, how it would work? Because in theory, let's go.
So the way I'm thinking is that you say, okay, I'm going to turn off skip. And if I turn it off and I miss, I can't turn it back on.
Right. What I was thinking of is something along the lines of kind of wild boar usage, i.e. you can plan it. You can say, okay, after being out for 16 impulses, you turn off skip movement, skip warp.
Well, the problem with that is that if you have to plan it like that, say a speed skip 20, okay, it's really moving at speed 10. So if it turns off the skip warp too soon, then you've now got a speed 10 missile.
Yeah. Oh, agreed.
It's maneuverable. Sure, it can do hits, but...
Understood. But here's the big issue with it, of allowing the ship to control it, and that is it'd be one of the few weapons where that was possible. Currently, one of the few ships that one of the few empires that has a weapon that can do that are basically the one of the module C4s. You know, the training ones, which is the sharks.
Right.
Shark hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, you know, they have the fly-by-wire missiles. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it basically goes against all of how it is used. You know? So, it sounds like you're about to get busy with your wife. So, I'll let you go now. Okay?
Yeah.
You have a good night.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Good night.
So, had a nice discussion about the Nicosians. Guess I will check on that. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, I am going to be adding them into the client. Actually, there was a bug in the client that I needed to fix so that the person who was doing the Nicosian ships can actually have it enabled. And I've got a number of features that I'm trying to get implemented, some for the new ship definitions and the people working on them, some which I've added, which are some nice things. At least one of them. I got to look at some other feature, which is currently the targets. Some of the targets are actually the like this, the slip, you know, the slip counters and the turn mode counters. Those are there and they should not be in the target list. I did add a filter to a client so that you can say, oh, only the ships that are unmoved. So you can use it as your kind of unmoved list so that you know when you've moved all your ships or all the ships are moved. So that'll be something nice to be. Yep. Understood. You just, you know, I agree that obviously I think part of that is that someone has to start posting with, get some more play tests in, and if I can get, you know, if I can put out this feature into the client and have some more play tests occurring, maybe we can get more interest. I think that'd be great to have more interest on the Nicosians because they look actually a really interesting empire. You know, I like the weapons. Lord knows I love the warp field mine. I think that's an awesome weapon and definitely needed. As we pointed out, I think that's a kind of a critical weapon needed when you don't have wild weasels. You know, which is, since they're such small ships, I'm sorry, I have a hard time imagining that. You know, because the actual people are like grains of rice. Their ships aren't going to be that big either. You know, compared to one of these huge ships, for the Federation or for the Hydra or whatever, you know, scale wise, it's going to be like, have this tiny, tiny little ship, you know, probably like this big, and it's going to do all this damage. You know, they go, what the heck is that? Oh, it's just somebody's toy. And he starts firing weapons. You go, what the heck's going on? That toy is pretty powerful, you know? So, anyhow, I'll end with that. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.